We begin our service in the name of divine love, in the name of the divine transcendent, immanent, and omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. Well, good morning and good to see each of you here in the conscious icebox. I've always wondered what would be the reason for a minister to give a five-minute sermon, and this is it. So we're all in luck today. I wanted to say a big thanks to our dear Jill, who served in my stead last week while I was on retreat. That was awesome. Thank you. And a warm welcome to everyone who's visiting for the first time. Normally it is 72 degrees in here, but really apologies. The system is down, and the people have been called who can handle it, but so it is. And appreciate your long suffering, and I'll try and be very attentive to that fact. Gives us all an opportunity to work in our being in our bodies. Okay, just a couple of announcements. All of this can be found in the bulletin and online on the church website. We have several retreats coming up. I want to just draw your attention to that. Coming up, we have an online introduction to centering prayer. If you're looking for an introduction to the method of centering prayer or a refresher, this is a wonderful way to do it online, and it's very enriching. February 12th, also associated with that intro class, is a retreat. And then on February 23rd, we have an in-person centering prayer retreat here in the sanctuary. And so you wouldn't want to miss that opportunity. We space, we mask, and it's a wonderful way to be in community together in the silence. Just a reminder to everyone, we do have the bulletin for you to take home as a resource. Also on the Friday email for everyone who's in our Zoom online community or cloud community, we do provide a PDF version of the bulletin in our Friday emails. And if you're not receiving the Friday emails, you can go to the church website, scroll all the way down, and just register to receive the Friday email. It's a very helpful way of staying connected with the church life. Today we begin a new sermon series entitled Me, We, Matter. Me, We, Matter. I had a lot of fun trying to see which pronoun went first, we, me, matter, or me, we, matter. We matter. But really just deepening our attention unto the body and the gift of being embodied beings, and how extraordinary, how wonderful it is to be each of us, that there'll never be another you, there'll never be another me. To be able to say how wonderful it is to be me, for each of us to really own the gift of being who we are. And we'll focus our attention on that for 5 minutes today. Let's take a moment in the silence and wish that this service and our community would experience continued blessings from God, and that each of our lives would continue to be crowned with glory and honor, light and love. May it be so. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Spirit. Please stand and help us sing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Please be seated and join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence all confusion. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made us a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor. You have given humanity stewardship over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Again, apologies for the cold room, and I will seek to be brief. It's good to be back. It was great to be on retreat, and I had a lot to say today. But I'll aim to just distill it to this point. It is so easy to forget that each of us is crowned. And not only crowned, but crowned with glory and honor. And it's easy to forget that someone else is crowned and crowned with glory and honor. It's very comfortable to remember ourselves as being crowned ones, as being bearers of glory and honor, worthy of glory and honor. Sometimes it's harder to see that in another person, that they too are crowned with glory and honor. They too, the one who has wronged you, they too, the one who has been abusive, they too, the one who seems to function like an adolescent without care for anything, selfish, they too are crowned with glory and honor. The problem is that oftentimes we forget and we lose touch with this crowning. The very word crowning is similar to the word anointed, which is what the Hebrew translates as Messiah, which is the title Jesus is given. It gets translated into Greek as Christ or Christos. That Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one. But Jesus wasn't the only Messiah in the Jewish tradition. Kings and prophets were messiahs in the sense that they were anointed ones. Samuel was anointed as a messiah. King David, King Solomon, King Saul, all anointed with holy oil by the priests, anointed ones. But not just kings and prophets and leaders of high position. The beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ was that he was here to bear witness to the fact that not only is that his destiny to be a crowned one, but it is our destiny as well. In fact, he said that was his whole mission. I have come so that you might know the Father as I know the Father, and that my Spirit will come upon you and anoint you and crown you with glory and honor and power. Not the kind of power this world celebrates, but the kind of power that enables us to love selflessly. That's the love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross. And through his whole spiritual journey was this capacity to be in selfless love. In the year 409 AD, just north of Norwich, England, two men left a road, a dirt road, and crossed a snowy field carrying an oak box that weighed hundreds of pounds. It was full of 600 gold coins, thousands of silver coins, other precious items like jewels and jewelry and golden tableware and trinkets. Their master, Aurelius, a wealthy millionaire who lived in Norwich County, north of London, sent these two men servants to go bury this oak chest, just a tenth of his wealth, just in case things started to go really bad with the Roman Empire, which was falling apart, totally falling apart. He buried it thinking that they could retrieve it within a few months or a year at the most, just to be sure that all his treasure wasn't lost to the barbarians. That was the year 409. Those two servants dug the hole in the field. They buried the treasure, thinking they'd be retrieving it in a few weeks, a month, or a year. 1,600 years passed, and that oak chest stayed in the ground until some farmer with a metal detector in 1992, looking for a lost hammer, hit pay dirt. It's called the Hoxton Hoard, and you can see it to this day in the museums in London. We're titillated by gold and silver as treasures. Buried treasures found seem to be a wonderful story that capture our attention and imagination. But the truth is that many of us, out of fear or a sense of constriction, a lack of faith, have long ago buried our treasures, buried the thing that is the most valuable to us, even though it's not very valuable to the world, and that is your radiant being, your soul, your essence. And the work teaches that it gets buried by personality. It gets covered over, coated by personality. A many-coated person was someone who was heavily constricted, but stayed warm, I guess. But this idea that this thing that is the treasure of each of us gets buried over sometimes by life, covered over by the social mores, covered over by what we think other people want from us. Early on, we learn that it's not safe sometimes to show our buried treasure, our hidden treasure, our essence. It might be mocked, it might be made fun of, it might be rejected. And certainly we're told the message, you can't make any money using your essence. You can't make a living doing that. Be serious, you know, go do something practical. And many of us buried our treasure long ago. And so we're invited on the spiritual journey little by little as we sit in the silence, as we partake in the Eucharist, as we experience spiritual community, that a thawing happens, a melting, an uncovering of that hidden glory, that hidden treasure of each of us gets unpacked and found once again. It brings new meaning to that beautiful phrase, I was lost, but now I'm found. And that is the wish for my life and for all of our lives, that day by day, morning by morning, week by week, month by month, season by season, year by year, decade by decade, we keep finding more treasure and let it out for the world to see and to enjoy and to be used. And not only that, this is the heart of the matter, to do it for the glory of God and worship. Because this whole passage of Scripture, Psalm 8, is set in the context of a person who's worshiping God. It begins with, O Lord, how majestic is your name, and concludes, O Lord, how majestic is your name. And the insight that this author gets about human beings, what are you that you're mindful of us, that particular insight of remembering that we are crowned with glory and honor comes after or in the context of this author looking up into the sky and to the heavens. It's the moment of worship being taken outside of himself or herself as they look up into the ray of creation, into the stars and the starry night. And it's that cosmology that begins to awaken the remembering of his psychology. You have crowned us with glory and honor, and we're just a little shorter than the angels. We are three-brained beings. Those angels are maybe nine-brained beings. Who knows? But we are extraordinary in what we've been given to do on this planet. Will we play our role? Will we fill in the gap that human beings alone can play and bear our treasures to God and to offer them to one another instead of hiding them away? And this is really, really important. I'll conclude with a little story from my trip. I wanted to share a few more stories, but I'll just conclude with this story. I went to a monastery near Dubuque, Iowa, that is one of my favorite monasteries. I was an associate, or what we would call an oblate, of that monastery for 2.5 years when I lived near that monastery in Iowa. And nearby there's a glorious woods with old virgin woods, just stunning. It's kind of unusual for northeastern Iowa. It's an unusual forest, and so it's a state park. They preserved it. And it's silent, and they had had 6 inches of snow the day before, so when I showed up, I was the only person there and the first person there. And I walked into this virgin forest under the virgin snowfall, and I was the first footsteps there. Went to the sacred spot. There's a tree, it's a juniper ash tree of some sort, growing sideways out of the cliff that overlooks this little river. And it very much is like a Bodhi tree. It's a very meditative place for me over the years, and sacred place. And so I just sat there in the snow, sat right down in the snow. And I could hear the wind through the trees, and you know those bare-leaved trees just crackle in the wind as they snap against each other. It's nothing like winter wind through a barren forest in the winter. And I just sat there and listened. And it said to me, that inner voice, that I don't call it God, but I just call it that voice that speaks, that you hear it in the silence. Sometimes you can trust it, sometimes you just have to go, But this is what it said to me. There is nothing that is not me. I am everything there is nothing that is not me. And so I asked in my observer voice, what or who is the me that says there is nothing that is not me? What or who is this me? And it said, the we is me. I am in everything. And that phrase, the we is me, deeply spoke to me because it reminded me that without community, I am so much the poor, and without relationships, I'm so much the poor, and that community can save the world. With one person, they can do very little on their own. With two, you can begin to work. With three, you can move mountains, where two or three are gathered in my name and agree on a thing. But where a community is, the laws of this world can be transformed and undone with higher laws. The we is me. God manifests in each of us as that buried treasure. God manifests all the more as buried treasure in the we-ness of the community. We have been crowned, anointed with glory and honor. We're literally, the words glory and honor, you could translate that as radiating. We are crowned, anointed with light and love to radiate outward, to warm the world with wisdom and love. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence. Reconnect with your own buried treasure. See what Spirit's saying to you. What mud has covered your gold? O Lord our God, how majestic is your name. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I look at your heavens, what are human beings that you are mindful of us? You have made us a little lower than yourself and crowned us, anointed us with glory and honor. May we each take this gift and be ourselves to the full. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Wound up tight, hidden from the light. Used to feel so right. Used to feel so true.
Inside this shed, it's a darkness I know well. Now I begin to sway into something new. I'm cracking open. I'm stretching to the sun.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Thank you.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, from which we come and to whom we return, we remember beloveds in our community that are in need of the touch of divine energetic healing for the fullness of life. We especially remember everyone who's navigating COVID and experiencing healing through that process. For Mary Gifford's brother John, for C.J. Brandt's father Charlie, for Jim and Bev McCune's daughter-in-law, for Catherine Daniels' friend Kaylee, for Phil Knighton, and for Joel Wilder's husband Mike. For all these beloveds that I name and those that are quiet in our hearts, we lift them up to you in the silence. We especially send light and love to Helen Stamps, Jack's first wife and mother of his children, who is making her transition today, this morning. We pray for Jack and his family, and especially for Helen, that she would be encircled with your radiant light and love. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I invite you to unpack and then recap your host. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ on behalf of us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace.
How sweet the sound that saved us.
Let's take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands or consciousness and remember whether we give electronically, online, or by check, or here in the basket. Declare this truth over our lives, over our beloveds, over our church, over our world. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Great to freeze together. The community that freezes together stays together. No, but truly, thank you for your presence today in person. It's such a gift to be together as one body in Christ. And for our beloveds online, thank you for your attention and willingness to participate in our community in this way. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit is with you as your treasure, now and forever.